Right, this morning we're going to try to preach a short message on prayer and just what it is and a little bit about it. Turn in your Bibles to Psalms 32. Psalm 32. It's a Psalm of David. And Psalm 32, and we'll start in verse 1 through 7. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Excuse me. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For night and day thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sins. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely, in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh to him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all your many blessings, life and health and everything you've done for us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for loving us enough to die for us, Lord, and shed your blood on the cross for our sins. I pray now, Father, that you bless this message. I pray, Father, anybody that hears it anywhere, Lord, would get something from it, Lord, to help them to be a better prayer warrior, to be able to draw closer to Thee and serve Thee, Lord, in these last days. I pray, Father, that You'd just use it for Your honor and Your glory. And help me, Lord, to preach it, to help me to say it say the right things at the right time, Lord. I know I can't do anything without Thee. And I'm asking You to help me, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, like I say, this message is about prayer, and I know most all of you have heard or seen these signs at churches where it says 7 days without prayer makes 1 week, W-E-A-K instead of W-E-E-K. There's a lot of sayings about prayer. It says, in prayer it's better to have a heart without words than have words without heart. A lot of truth in that. Much kneeling keeps us in good standing with God. There's a lot of church signs all over the place now, and that's what they do. They put stuff like this on, which is, I guess it's all right, but nobody won't put the Word of God up. That's the reason Brother Dickman started this sign ministry, so that he could put the pure Word of God out, you know. And if people don't read the Bible anymore, that's the reason we have scripture signs around here, and we put them out and change them so people see the Word of God and read it, and maybe the Holy Spirit deal with them, and then you get saved. But people put little sayings like this. I guess you might say it's preaching. I don't know. But anyway, God can use it, I guess. Martin Luther did this. He set apart his best 3 hours for prayer. Just beyond my comprehension there. He said about 3 hours. There's a quote here I got. It says, God respects not the arithmetic of our prayers, that is, how many they are. He respects not the rhetoric of our prayers, that is, how elegant they are. He respects not the music of our prayers, that is, how melodious they are. He respects not the logic of our prayers, that is, how methodical they are, but the sincerity of our prayers, that is, how heartfelt they are. And there's a lot of truth in that. A lot of hypocritical praying going on. George Mueller, lived in the 1800s, he said this, the most important part of prayer was the 15 minutes after he had said amen. I guess he's waiting for the Lord to talk to him. course, he talks to us by the Word of God. Sometimes you can get things, you know, enter your mind right after prayer that you need to straighten out. And a lot of times when you first kneel down to pray, that's when you're going to get all kind of things that you need to get straightened out before you start asking anything. So the Lord will deal with you and in prayer. And you have to wrestle with the Lord, the devil, and all three of you there. I guarantee you. I mean, I don't know about you, but I do. All kind of thoughts goes in your head. The devil and the Lord. You're trying to pray to the Lord, and the devil put all kind of things. You got to plead the blood. You got to do something, you know, to clear your mind so you can talk to the Lord. But He'll help you do it. But it's work. That's the reason most people don't want to pray nowadays. All right. First point here about prayer, of course, was some definitions. What is prayer? The dictionary definition is, in a general sense, the act of asking for a favor, particularly with earnestness. In worship, a solid address to the Supreme Being, consisting of adoration or an expression of our sense of God's glorious perfection, confession of our sins, supplication for mercy and forgiveness, intercession for blessings on others, thanksgiving, or an expression of gratitude to God for His mercies and benefits. That's the dictionary definition. And there's some Bible, definition. Of course, it says it's the act of asking. But the Bible definition of prayer in John 4:31, it says, in the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. What did He do? They asked Him. Asking to eat, wanted them to eat. In Philippians 4:6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. That's simply you're requesting something. That's simply prayer is asking. That's what it is. You ask the Lord for things, for blessings, to help. For all kind of things. Now, you don't pray like that carpenter did. He's that roof in the house, you know, and he started sliding down. And it's a real steep house, and he had he's going down through there, and he started hollering, Lord, help me. Oh, God, help me, help me. And about that time, there's a nail that stuck up there, and it caught his overalls, and it stopped him. And he said, that's all right, Lord. Nail's got me. That's the way we are. We try to, the Lord will answer a prayer, and then we'll lay it on something else instead of giving the Lord the glory for it. All right, next thing, how do you pray? Well, Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And Jude 1:20 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And, of course, this is prayer that God the Holy Spirit inspires and God the Holy Father, God the Father, answers. I've heard of a missionary before being in trouble somewhere. And, you know, he's in trouble and he prays. And somebody in the United States... maybe in the same church, all of a sudden, a church that supports him or something, all of a sudden has a heavy burden to pray for a specific missionary. And he prays, and then maybe a year later, he finds out that such and such a thing happened to this missionary, maybe come back by the church, and start telling about a certain thing at a certain time, and this guy stood up and told it about what happened. And he prayed at that particular time. And because he got up and he went ahead and prayed, that missionary was spared, his life was spared, or being injured or something. So the Lord does that. He'll inspire you to, He'll get you to pray for somebody. Somebody get on your mind when you kneel down to pray. A lot of times somebody be on your mind to pray for them. And That's the Holy Spirit dealing with you about praying for specific people at specific times for some specific reason. So you need to be willing when you get down to listen to the Lord when He's trying to tell you who to pray for and what to pray about. Well, instead of just going through some kind of little ritual, you know, in your prayer life, you know, just to get it over with so you can go on back and do whatever you wanted to do. Amen, amen, amen. Okay. Next thing, pray in faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So before we start to pray, we should kneel down there and have a definite consciousness that God's listening. That is, what you have to do is get the worldly things out of your head and get your mind on what you're doing. Like I said before, the devil's going to put all kinds of things in your head. You got to get all that there and show that He's there. Now, He's always there, but you've got to get to a place where you can listen to Him and you can talk to Him. Matter of fact, He's everywhere. In Jeremiah 23:24, it says, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him?" Talking about God talking here. "Saith the Lord, do not I fill heaven and earth?" Saith the Lord. See? He's everywhere. He knows what's going on in that room back there. He knows what's going on under that pew. I mean, he knows. He fills heaven and earth. You believe the Bible, don't you? You say, "Explain." I can't explain it, but that's what it says, and that's what you got to believe. You believe what this book says. Don't believe what I say. That's what this book says right here, Jeremiah 23:24. And He fills heaven and earth. All you have to get your mind, you got to get your mind set, and He's right there. I mean, if I bow my head right now and ask the Lord something, He's right here. And He can answer it. George Mueller, he's an English preacher. In the 1800s, he had an orphanage. He raised over £1 million. I don't know what that is in our money now, but it's way on up there, £1 million in English money. With no gimmicks, by the way, no con artists like these TV preachers, do this and I'll, if you'll send me $5, I'll send you a 2 cent necklace or something. Nothing like that. He just prayed and then things happened. Things happened for him. Food came. And as the illustration here about what happened to him, he was fixing to go to Quebec, Canada. He's in England, fixing to go to Quebec, Canada. And of course, the way they went, they had to go by a ship. So he went down to the dock, took ship to go over there at a certain time. You know, some day in a week. I don't know how long it took over there, but he got on the ship in time to go and make it over there in time to be at a certain meeting in Quebec, Canada. And he told the captain, you know, what was going on. You know, he said, "I'm gonna have to get to Canada at a certain time. Next Saturday," or something like that. And the captain said, "I'm sorry, but there's not going to be no, you're not going to make that meeting." Said, "There's too much fog out here. And we can't move. We can't leave until the fog lifts." And George Mueller said, "Let's go into the chart room and pray." So the captain went with him up there, got knelt down on the floor with him. And George prayed a little simple prayer, you know, that the Lord would lift the fog so they could get going. Because he had to be over there, you know. The captain, he started to pray, and George Mueller said, "No, there ain't no use you praying. You don't believe it, so the Lord's not going to answer you anyway." So both of them got up, and George Mueller told him, said, "I believe, and the Lord's answered the prayer." So they got up and walked outside out there, and the fog had lifted. He took off. Make a long story short, the fog was gone, and he made the meeting on time. So he was a mighty a man of prayer. But he also, I read where he also read through the Bible 100 times on his knees. So there's something maybe in that too. You talking to the Lord, he talks to you. Alright, the next thing about prayer is you ought to pray. When you pray, you ought to pray in Jesus' name. Ephesians 5:20 and Colossians 3:17 says this: giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And in John 16:23 it says, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Now, you need to pray in Jesus' name. Aggravates me to death. This aggravates me to death. When I worked at Gaston County Dye Machine Company, they'd have these dinners, and whenever, of course, Max Craig was the owner of the company. He was a Christian, I believe, and he really tried to do things right. But this one guy, he'd get him to pray every once in a while, and that guy never did pray in Jesus' name. It's like he didn't want to offend nobody, or he was lost, or he didn't know what he was supposed to have to pray in it. One or the other, I don't know. But anyway, he'd just pray a kind of a dead prayer, and no, it's like this. If you go to the bank and cash a check, if it don't have the right signature on it, you ain't going to get no money. Same way with prayer. If you pray, and you pray it in Jesus' name, it's got the right signature on it, see, when you put His name on it, then it's something going to happen. You're going to get an answer of some kind. Now, why should you pray in Jesus' name then? Well, first of all, He's our high priest. In Ephesians 4:14 it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, it's because we have a great high priest. He's our high priest. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Alright, we go to the throne of grace boldly. Now how do we come into the throne of grace? I mean, it's doctrinally, how do we get in there? I know all you do is just bow your head and you're in there, see? He fills heaven and earth. He's right here. Plus, He's connected. The Holy Spirit's connected. He's everywhere, too, see? So they're connected right there in the throne room now. You bow your head, you're in there. If I were to pray right now and ask, quick as I, at the end of this message, I pray. When I do, quick as I bow my head and start praying, I'm in the throne room. How do I get in there? How can I get in there? See, well, one thing, the Holy Spirit's inside of me. I'm saved. Hebrews 10:17 tells you how. Hebrews 10:17 says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Verse 18, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Verse 19, here it is. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's how we get in, through the blood. The blood's available right now. The blood fills the universe too. It's there at the throne. We can get through there because of the blood. Alright. Next thing. When should you pray? Always. So how do you do that? Well, you just try to do it. That's all I know. Always. Luke 18 said He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17 it says, pray without ceasing. The only thing I can tell you about that is General Stonewall Jackson said that he was so fixed in his prayers that he never opened a letter, never sealed a letter, sent a letter, drank a glass of water without asking God to bless it. While he was teaching his cadets before the war, he would pray for them in between classes. He always prayed before battle, during the battle, and after a battle. The Christian man, Christian gentleman. They're trying right now, I ain't going to get in on this too much, but that's something else that aggravates me. They're trying to do everything they can to discredit every single general, Christian or not, that had anything to do with the war for Southern independence, otherwise called Civil War, although there was nothing civil about it. Let me get back. Anyway, get back to that. There's three types of prayer. Three types of prayer. First of all, it's private prayer. In Matthew 6:6, it says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father, to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Jesus prayed privately. I give you the reference in Matthew 26:36-38, Mark 14:32-42, Luke 22:41-45, and John 18:1. He prayed privately in the Garden of Gethsemane. See. Next thing is family prayer. Now your children ought to see you pray. I mean, you'll be private prayer for you personally too, but your children and your wife and all y'all pray. Y'all have a family altar. Y'all pray and y'all read the Word of God and pray in front of your children. They'll remember that. You need to do that. Bible says, Ephesians 5:25, "Husband, love your wives, even also Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water, by the word." So it takes the Word of God and prayer, see? And that sanctify and cleanse it can work both ways. Christ is washing his body, that is his church now, so she'll be spotless at the marriage of the Lamb. He's washing us, the body, with a kind of water that's by the word. It says, washing of water by the word, see? And the brethren, they ought to minister the word to each other. And the husbands should minister the word to their wives to help keep them clean. Well, help try to keep each other clean with the word of God. And you're not saying a family altar, A-L-T-A-R, will alter, A-L-T-E-R, a family. And it's true. Next is public prayer. Public prayer. John 17, the Lord Jesus prayed publicly. Solomon prayed a public prayer in 1 Kings 8. He started the dedication of the temple. He stood up with his hands up toward heaven and started praying. Whenever he got through, he was on his knees, kneeling and praying. And that's a long prayer. Y'all read that sometime, watch it. It's in 1 Kings. Now, let's come to some answered prayers. God can give three answers to our prayers. He can say yes, no, and wait a while. And a lot of times we don't wait a while. We want to hurry up and do, and we jump on ahead of him. I know I have several times. And that's usually a big mistake. In the Bible, there's a lot of instances on record of answers being given prayers. Abraham in Genesis 17:18 says, "And the Lord and Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." Verse 20 says, where he answered him, says, "As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation." Abraham's servant prayed to God. And God directed him to the exactly the right woman there. And it should be his master's son and his heir to his God directed him to the person to be his wife. That's what he did. His servant went after Isaac, a wife, and that's in Genesis 24:10-20. All right, Jacob prayed to God. God inclined the heart of his irritated brother so that they met in friendship. Jacob and Esau was at odds with each other. And Jacob prayed. Of course, they reconciled and everything was all right when they got together because of that. Samson prayed. He was thirsty. He had a burning thirst. And God showed him a well. And he lived to judge Israel. David prayed. And God defeated the council of Ahithophel in 2 Samuel 15, 16 and 17. And Absalom, his son, was out to get him. And so God defeated that council with another one and saved David. Daniel prayed, and God enabled him to tell Nebuchadnezzar his dream and also give the interpretation of it because he prayed and answered the prayer. Nehemiah prayed, and God dealt with the heart of the king of Persia, and he granted him a leave of absence where he could rebuild Jerusalem. That's in Nehemiah 1 and 2. Esther and Mordecai prayed, and God defeated the purpose of Haman. Haman was trying to kill all the Jews, and of course he got hanged himself. Haman was hanged. The believers in Jerusalem prayed and in Acts 12, and God opened the prison doors, set Peter at liberty when Herod was going to kill him. Paul prayed that the thorn in his flesh might be removed. The Lord didn't answer that prayer right then, but the Lord gave him grace to go through it. And I'd say sometimes it's an answer to prayer. It ain't the one we want, but it'll be an answer. Now I'll give you some personal answers, and I'm through. When we were moving back from Pensacola up here, was in Greenville, and it was on a busy road, and I had a U-Haul truck. I was driving a truck, and my wife Myra was back behind me and in the car, and I was pulling my truck. And all our furniture and everything was in the truck, and you had to go real slow in order to pull out anywhere, you know. Anyway, we was fixing to pull out of this service station. And I got up there and stopped, and his car just was zip, 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 back and forth. And I waited and waited. And I just bowed my head and asked the Lord to make a way so we can get out of here, so we can get on back on the road. And when I looked up, there were no cars, just like that. So we pulled on out and went on. That's the answer to prayer right then. When we got up here, we needed a gas stove. And prayed about a gas stove. The Lord provide us one. And I think we looked in the paper the next day or something other. Anyway, there was one in there for $40. We got it. Prayed for a house to rent. The Lord provided one the first day we were there. I asked for a job. Lord provided one at B&K at a place down in South Carolina down there. And when we started this church, I asked the Lord about starting this church. And the Lord dealt with me about this church and getting it started. And I prayed and asked the Lord to help me. You know, if he wanted to go, he's gonna have to help me. I couldn't do it on my own, you know. And so our dryer quit working. And this friend of mine, Earl Payne, he works on dryers. He's a preacher too, but sometimes, you know, he's had several churches and he'll work a while. Anyway, I called him and talking to him, you know, told him what was wrong with the dryer and everything. He said, yeah, he'd be over there in a little bit. And help me get it fixed, you know, or fix it. I don't know how to fix it, but he could fix it. Anyway, he said, where are you going to church at now? I said, well, I'm thinking about starting one. Just like that, he said. I know where some pews are. I know where there's a Bible stand. And there were some song books. I said, and I'd already talked about the thing about to... my mother up there, she let me, the house down here, you know, I decided to work on it and try to fix it up. And so things just kind of fell in place. So, Lord worked it out. And he can work it out. He can answer your prayers. If you're saved, if you're not saved, the only prayer that you need to ask him, first of all, is Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. know that you're a lost sinner and you can't save yourself, and trust the righteousness of Jesus Christ. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for helping us get through this message. I pray, Father, that you bless it. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to use this message wherever it goes, to whoever hears it, Lord. I pray that you'd give them something from thee, and you'd help them, and you'd apply it to their heart, and just help us all to serve thee, Lord. Even so, come back, Lord Jesus, as soon as possible. And we thank you for what you're going to do with this message. Thank you for what you're going to do with this church, Lord. You, it's in your hands, Lord, and I pray that you'd work things out for us and help us out here. And I thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.